Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
They stopped Strahd from committing an evil crime.
Nice one, guys.
But in the process, they were
sent back in time.
What should they do?
Who should they kill?
Probably someone innocent.
They've got to travel back through time.
Something around through time.
Friendship is forever.
Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in. You're still a dragon friend.
Picture, if you will, the vampire Strahd standing his back against the lodestone. Trust me, my friends, you don't want to know what happens if this thing breaks as Filge the Half-Orc leans in closely and says, "Let's find out together." A smash, a crack, the lodestone is shattered, Strahd is no more, and lo, time begins to unwind. Slowly at first, the lodestone begins to stitch itself back together as spent ammunition flies from the floor back into quivers and pouches, then quicker and quicker as a montage of ever-escalating, rewinding time. Friezo, you catch glimpses of your lonely solitude. Bobby, you and Nikki stalking backwards through the snow. Baston, you smell Chilton spice and summer. Filge, for a fleeting second, you see your brother Dilge's panicked, trusting face. And then everything goes to white. The city of Waterdeep is the jewel in the crown of the Sword Coast, a thriving metropolis of commerce, learning, and intrigue. But all of its advances would pale in insignificance alongside the many wonders and marvels of that old high empire of Netheril. You see, 1,000 years ago, the Arcanists of Netheril studied forbidden magics, raised up whole cities in the sky before breakfast each morning, performing feats that would make a modern mage blanch in terror and envy. Such was their pride, such was their power, the greatest and most golden age of civilization, until the terrible and sudden fall of Netheril that marks the start of what historians would call the Second Age of Ruin. Now, our friends, the dragon friends, for all their adventures, know little more of Netheril than what they have heard in stories and fairy tales, and yet you're about to become a lot more acquainted, for as your eyes swim into focus, you can see that lodestone now in front of you that was smashed, made whole again, and somehow new. The yellow and grime of the age is gone from its surface, making it look as if it was carved only yesterday, as your eyes take in a desk scattered with intricate looking mason's tools. I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of messages from Tom Walker. Anyway, the lodestone dominates a curious looking room, benches and desks around it. There's a door to the east, and the slumped figure of a woman in a white coat, a gnome seemingly dead on the floor beside you. Your eyes readjust. Banknote and undercourt slump forward, their wounds as mortal as they were just moments ago, despite the fact that 1,000 years has passed. You have to stop messaging me.
Put it on silent, Dave. Put it on silent.
I thought it was on silent. It's meant to be on silent. And otherwise, the room seems empty.
Lai, wake up. Are you okay, little fella?
I think he's not. He's not responding.
He's not responding to me.
Undercourt and Jacob Undercourt, the Nightclaw Ranger, and Lilai Lionshield Banknote, the Asima Artificer, who fought with you so bravely last season, were both wounded in the last battle. Mm. And they...
What does Lionshield Banknote have on his body, Dave?
Okay, well... again, this is not technically your character, Hing. This is a man with his own agency, but he is wearing...
But he is unconscious.
But he's unconscious, Dave. So what's he going to do to stop me from looting his body?
He has an exoskeleton crab mech, doesn't he?
Can I take the crab mech, Dave?
The crab isn't there. His gauntlets, his electroshock gauntlets are there. His artificer's pistol, I suppose.
Yeah.
He has...
You're already writing it down, so...
He does have the... He has his at the Battle of the Red Run, his father gave him the crest of the family banknote to hold with him, which
I'll
is...
take that.
I step in front of Banknote's body.
By the
way, nobody has said he's dead.
He's for now stabilized, breathing shallowly. There is also a heavy coil of coin by his belt. Not all of his money, but quite a lot. Filch steps by the body.
Freeze, officer.
What?
You haven't changed?
I haven't.
I mean, you look very different.
Yes, I might be Chinese now. But that shouldn't... I'm still the same guy. What? Do you think I'm different now that I'm Chinese? Filch, do you think that defines a person?
Yeah, I don't know. He thought he is a trustworthy fellow. I don't know why I thought that. I thought, this guy has kind eyes. Friezo, you can't do this. Banknote is... he a dragon friend.
Yeah, but...
more than you.
But look... Sorry. Hey, well, let's not. I can... What we're doing here, we don't know where we are. We're in danger, right? We can all see we're in danger. We're probably in some fucking world that someone's come up with. And
honestly, that is sometimes how I feel.
And look, he's unconscious. Who knows when he's going to be back, right? And all of his stuff... it's just lying there. It's not useful. But if I take it, I can use it to help us.
Hey, guys, bad news. I know where we are. We're dead. This is the afterlife. We all died, and this is heaven or hell, probably hell. You're all here.
Hooray! Well, I'm glad we're together.
What does it mean if someone is dead in hell?
Double dead.
Double dead.
Is that like double denim? Like it's quite unfashionable to be dead in hell?
It's called Canadian dead.
And if you are in hell, as I said, despite the bodies of those that you brought with you, there is another body in the room. There's a gnomish woman in what looks like a kind of white gown or coat. She has a white scarf over hair, peppered with grey, and large wire-framed glasses. And... at first you thought she was dead, but now you can see that she is also breathing and looks like she is just unconscious.
Which of you has a religion that has a god like this?
Ooh. Can I go look at the woman? I've got medicine. Can I try and medicine her?
Absolutely. Why don't you make a medicine check for me?
Medicine.
16.
Okay. Baston walks forward and with surprising grace and tenderness... applies smelling salts that none of you fuckers knew he had inside, I suppose, an arm band.
A little for you, a little for me.
You know the point of smelling salts is that they're, like, so pungent they make wake someone.
It's an acquired taste, but if you have enough time... And she starts to cough and... awake.
Pretty good, huh?
Mm. And she's like still kind of coming to. She's not really verbal at this point. She seems kind
of
dazed.
And she gets up. She's standing in front of these, as I said, these circle of benches and the pillar stone as the jewel at the center of this circular room, standing inside a kind of sconce that has been designed for it, made out of metal.
I've got some bad news. You're double dead.
And she looks at the lodestone. And she looks at the four of you and the others around.
The other two of you.
The other two of you who aren't vertical. And she says, "Holy freaking dooly, it works!" And then becomes unconscious again.
I don't think we're in hell. And I don't think we're in heaven. And the reason I know that, and you're not going to believe this... is that I have spent quite a bit of time in both of those places. So I think we're in a... I think we are... my original hypothesis, we're in a place some guy made up that stands.
Well, is there a window?
When you say a place that some guy made up, I suppose a room is a place that someone made up. Is that...
Dave, everything starts in our imaginations, don't you know?
Dave, is there a window?
There are no windows. There is a door to the west.
I open the door and I yell... Where are we?
Good, good, good.
And your voice rings out through copper-lined corridors that seem to spread out. Also, you're buffeted by a pleasant breeze, as if that there is air traveling through. The air is quite fresh. This looked like you were deep inside a compound, and yet the air seems very lively to you.
They're copper-lined?
Yeah. That'd be so expensive.
I am going to, just to see what happens, I'm going to put on the gauntlet, and I'm going to shock the wall.
I thought you were going to say, I strip the copper.
I mean, what's it worth in this world, Dave? Is it expensive or not?
I don't think you know which world you're in just yet.
I know a guy off the New Jersey Turnpike who'll give you a really good price.
I'm gonna shock the wall and see if any lights go on or anything.
Okay, you grab the your mechanical electro archy. When I say yours, I really mean Lion Shield Banknotes.
Yeah, but they're really the same character. Well,
and it's on his sheet. So.
It's on his sheet. So. And you press your hand onto the wall, and a arc of power thrums down the corridor, and the lights do seem to wink before stabilizing it. You haven't destabilized it, but the light globes that are ensconced to it, and there are globes of what seem to be a kind of electric filament light, all wink in and out before re-arriving.
Shall we head down the passageway?
Before we do that, David, how much does it fuck things up if Bobby casts healing word on Banknote?
Why didn't you try?
Okay, I try.
You fucked it up.
Oh.
Wait, what? Where does all my... What? When? Why? I'm sure I had a crest of my family and some coins on me. Those are the only two things I'm annoyed about not having.
Wait, so Banknote has decided that his lethal weapon Friezo can have.
What lethal weapon? I've got some sort of amnesia. I certainly don't remember having an artificer pistol or gauntlet shocking gloves.
He's, as he says this, he tries to get up before a wave of nausea and blood comes out of his mouth.
Oh, that's all the blood I drank before. Oh, no.
As he slumps back into the ground, and Val is looking at all of you, and therefore that is her name, and she grabs this is the small gnomish woman. She walks up to a bench and quickly starts scribbling notes down in a notebook.
And she says, "Nobody talk! Nobody talk! I know it! I know who you are! I love a guessing game. I love to guess! You are from the future, obviously. I know that because you came out of the lodestone and it works. I'm very clever. You are High Mages of the Netheril Ninth Age! What am I? I did not say talk, and going, ooh, it's kind of like talking. Okay, you are young adventurers of the Netheril Fourth Empire? Doesn't matter. None of this matters. All that matters is that it works. Do you know how many of these I've set up, I've primed, I've activated, and then nothing? I just go home and I feel real bad about myself. I think, oh, nothing's going to come of this. You know, this afternoon I was like, maybe I'll just give it up and, you know, like, become like a haberdasher. That was like my thought. And then
Can
I was...
Can I grab her mouth?
Yep.
And yell into it. Where are we? When are we? Who are you? What's going on?
That seems to calm her down, and she nods and tries to, with her hands, suggest to you that you should release her lips.
You must be very disoriented. I understand. I am so sorry. My name is Vowel. You are in the Netheries Empire in the year... And it's so funny. We had like pages and pages of fucking notes about. We didn't decide what year it was.
Four.
It's a year.
Dale Reckoning. Go on.
You are in year four. We reset the calendars 4 years ago because of a typo. And
a lot of people thought it was going to be the end of the world, yeah. And they kicked up a right stink, yeah. And look at them now.
But that's the wrong year.
What?
That's not the year that it is.
Why, just yesterday it was...
All of the dragon friends, you all come from a period of time called the Third Age. You probably come from a year. None of you have cared until now. And it is frankly unfair of you, 7 years in, to ask me what year it is at this point.
Are you saying our characters didn't care what year it was?
I mean...
got a lot going on.
It was the Third Age. It's, you live in the Third Age. That's
Dave,
all
I've got a question for you. What year is it where we are now?
I was about to get it wrong.
Of course, this is the year
93. Day of Reckoning, you idiot.
You must tell me, what year did you activate the Lodestone?
Ooh. We want to say 1493.
1,000 years! That's neat. But of course, with all these things, with prophecies and with science, they all mix together and have a lovely little smooch. Oh my goodness! I know you have lots of questions, and we have lots of questions for you, but first, we must go. Your friends, I will tend to them. I am not a medical doctor. I have a doctorate.
In what?
In,
Is it performance studies?
It is in performance
It is
studies.
In chronomancy. It is in, you have a doctorate in chronomancy.
And performance studies.
It's a, if anything,
I have an undergrad in chronomancy.
But then I got more and more. And first of all, I thought I would do performance art, but I would do a minor in chronomancy, but I got into it and I started to do night courses.
Really a beautiful, inspiring teacher. Are you aware of Commedia dell'arte? It's basically some bullshit. And it's incredible. You hobble around going, bicky, bicky, boo! Hey, Alfonso, hold up my pie!
So, just to be clear, 1,000 years in the past from where Dragon Friends was set, they had Commedia dell'arte.
Yes. Very similar to what would come
I'm going to hold you up there, Hing, because as I said, the Netherese Empire was a golden age of learning. So the pinnacle of...
Why would they have Commedia dell'arte then?
All...
I've got a big nose and a tiny dick!
Classic, you studied Nazi. Too! Anyway, yes, I'm a chronomancer. It means I do funny things with time. And I'm also a performance artist. It means I do funny things with the heart.
The mind.
But look.
As she says this, she rings a bell and trundling up the corridor towards you with a stretcher, you can see our three figures which look almost like humans or elves. They're sort of humanoid figures with silver shimmering skin, and they're dressed in simple smocks over blue robes, and they walk in wordlessly. She points and they start to load Undercourt and Banknote into stretchers.
Be careful with my friend. Not so much the big one. I don't really care about him at all.
We would have cared a lot more about him if he'd remembered to come to the fucking show.
Yeah, and then she doesn't know anything, but she punches him in the dick and goes, I don't know why I did that. Get a calendar, you know? It's on your phone. You can just put... You can put things in it. And somebody, when you say, I'll be at the place, you can just put it in as soon as you agree to do it. You know, you can just set a reminder to... Ding!
Oh, that thing.
Ding! Ding! Oh, I should get in my fucking car!
Arcanist Val addresses the four figures and she says, take them to the infirmary. And they look at her, all bow deeply, pick up the stretchers, and with your permission, start to take the bodies away.
Did you just call it Artemis Fowl?
Arcanist. Arcan...
Yes. It begins.
Arcanist. student, as in teacher of the arcane. Yeah. Arcanist Vowel.
Vowel?
Like Sarah Vowel.
Like Sarah Vowel.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Val. Like, hi, no. I'm Val.
No, her name is Sarah Val.
Okay.
Arcanist Sarah Val.
So.
Well, presumably because all of you wanted to talk about that instead of stopping them, the bodies of your friends are now trundling down the corridor.
Now I've got what I need.
Well, let us know how they are and tell us when they wake up. Thank you. Well, don't have to deal with that anymore.
Phew.
Now, I know you have lots of questions, and as I say, we will have lots of questions. The Archmage will be full of questions and probably praise for little old me. But First, I must warn you, the Netherese Empire from which you came will obviously be 1,000 years more advanced than what you'll see outside these doors. So please, no poo-pooing.
No,
I won't hear it with your humbleness. I understand that we are primitive to you, but please be kind and try and take in our rustic ways. And she opens the door and takes you down.
She's starting to walk you down a corridor. And she's sort of bustling you out. You get the sense that this is a person who does not spend a lot of time around other people. She's socially slightly excitable. And she's sort of bustling you down the corridor towards someone called the Archmage.
I mean, Netheril... Remember Netheril from school.
Should we do like a history check?
Why don't you all make history checks for me?
Netheril. Oh, I know about Netheril. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Anyone get over 15?
I got a natural 20.
She did get a natural 20. The highest.
Very natural.
Alex.
Filge, you were not an easy student. However, the Netherese Empire is something that you once did, I suppose, a book report on. And it was, which is impressive because you can't read, as a half-orc raised in a smithy, which I sometimes forget. But Filge, the Netherese ruled over all of the Sword Coast 1,000 years ago. Famously, they lived in cities in the sky. Their magic was unparalleled. And until the fall of Netheril, it was the greatest golden age that anybody's ever remembered in history. Theirs was the first age of wonder. Then there was the second age of ruin. You live in the third age. Calendars are hard. Anyway, that's what you know.
Yeah, Netheril, not really a thing anymore.
Excuse me?
Yeah, like you don't... like when we talk about Netheril, it's like it used to be around and kind of not anymore.
Do you know about dinosaurs?
Excuse me?
You know dinosaurs?
No, yes.
Yeah, you know how they sort of were around and then they weren't around
I
anymore?
I think... Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what... That's how we think of you.
But so why did you activate the lodestone after something happened? The purpose of the lodestones is that at the point of collapse, you activate the lodestone, you go back to the time of priming, and we can prevent it.
Oh, well, I mean, we're happy to help.
Well, actually, you're right. You know, I'm still thinking linear. It doesn't matter when
you're... Fucking idiot.
Okay,
you're thinking linear? You fucking idiot. And you call yourself a chronomancer.
It's funny because in my customs that would be quite rude.
Oh,
but
no, it's not.
No, it doesn't. This is interesting. The only thing that matters is that you have information and that we're here and that the lodestone works. So let's go tell the Archmage.
And as she says this, by now she's walked you down a corridor, swung a left, and she's ushering all of you to stand on a grill in a big circular room.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, this feels like a collapsey floor.
Is there going to be a wind that blows up our skirts for the perverts underneath to look at?
We have
moved... There's going to be a bunch of Netherese underneath jerking off.
We have moved on the jerking off perverts some time ago.
What did you do with them?
We had them killed.
That's what happens in the golden age?
Yeah. We have this incredible thing. And people are just jerking off underneath it. And we go, okay, well, this was not my decision. That's a totally different department. It was controversial at the time that they just took all the people who were just jerking off underneath the...
You didn't get all of us. Yeah.
Who was that?
Goffy! Oi! Get away from there!
Oh, yeah, see ya.
I'm sorry you had to see that, she says, and she pulls
What's
out...
What's the bounty on that man? I will kill him for you. What is the bounty on that man? I will hunt him down and kill him.
I mean, the aether on a...
It's about 1.2 quark of aether.
What? 1.2 quark of aether?
Of aether, yes.
How many of those words did you just make up on the spot then, Dave?
One of them.
Yeah.
Another one I made up a day ago.
I made up the number 2, so you're welcome.
I mean, this could be a way we could prove ourselves to them.
Hunting down the jerk pervert?
Look,
We're not in the Sword Coast.
He doesn't seem to be going anywhere underneath
the. We're not in.
He's still looking right up. I am making full eye contact with this pervert right now.
How lit is it down there?
In the scale of a noble quest, say a first episode quest, there seems to be a room, I suppose, under the grate that, frankly, I hadn't planned for.
No, I'm sure it's somewhere in the notes.
And then there's a low bench.
Yeah.
And sitting on the bench is a small half-eaten bag of chips. And next to the bag of chips is a pervert in a brown smock.
Who's going
absolutely nowhere, seems to have no fear of death, and is just looking up at all of you.
Hey, what do you want? What would you like? Is this working for you?
Are you doing requests?
Yeah, what do you want?
No, we're not taking requests.
Bobby,
we're a guest in these people's lands, okay? You know? I've done cultural sensitivity training. So if we need to kill this pervert that's jerking off underneath us
say he was jerking off.
No, Tom did. Look.
How do you know?
To answer your question, I'm into people pretending they're really tall.
All right, look, I'm what's your name? I like to know.
Well, it's Trevor.
Well, don't name him. He will never go.
No, I'm sorry. No,
go
Trevor.
Pretend that you're really tall for me. Yeah.
Also, guys, we've really got to do this. Look, for all of us to get credit of this, we're all going to have to do it together, okay, Filch? We're all going to have to kill him together.
And Val's like, hey, there's just a switch that just takes us away from here. It's right, and if you would like to have some fun pressing the button, you can.
I feel, whenever we're in a new place, we seem to sort of fall in with the perverts. And, you know, this lady seemed pretty important. We don't know if we can trust her. Maybe, you know, I just think, let's...
Well, should we take it to a vote on whether we kill the pervert or not?
Hey, Friezo. Do I look tall in this?
You look really tall.
Like, really tall. Look how tall I am.
You look so tall.
No, I'm sorry. I don't like where this is going at all. I don't like this at all.
You do still have... Friezo, you still do have the Arcanist pistol.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna. Can I get down into there?
It's a grill. You can.
I climb down through the grill.
Wait. No. I mean, you've got a gun. You have an artificer's gun.
Yeah, but I've got the shocking hands.
Okay.
You really want to feel him die?
I just want to.
Arcanist Val is like. Well, I suppose if we double back, go through the maintenance crawl space.
I rolled a 17 plus my attack, which is 4, so 21. What's your armor class, Trevor?
It's eight.
Trevor,
run! You're not very... Oh, what? Oh, thanks for the heads up.
Friezo, you're rolling a lot of dice. I just want to know, Hing, what are you doing?
I'm grabbing him around the neck.
He's quite far below you, so you're trying to open... Are you trying to pull open the grate?
You can't get through the grate.
Oh, okay, sorry. I witch bolt him then. I'm going to keep that 17, though, because I did roll it, so that counts.
Don't do a witch bolt. Come down here and strangle me with your hand.
Yeah. Friezo, suddenly, his eyes glow white as he starts to draw shapes in the air, terrifying and familiar. And yet, Color Strange and Eldritch does not appear. For Friezo, you have lost your magical focus, the source of your magical powers, which you still have yet to find. You escaped from your time of Mistress Trials through the Nine Known Worlds with nothing more than a magical sword, the clothes on your back. Actually, I think you came out naked. And also, I believe, a magical scroll.
Mm. Okay, I shoot him then, Dave.
Well, if you roll a 15, he dies.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Pleasantly, I murdered a man for you.
Hey, thank you so much for that.
You can see that Val's hand is slowly moving towards a button on the side of the elevator.
Do you know, I think, are you done murdering?
Yeah, no, he's
okay,
dead.
Okay, well, push this button then. And she pushes the button to activate the chute.
Yes, and correctly surmised, the air starts to glow, and as everybody's tunics are all aflutter, weightlessness occurs.
Oh, Trevor would have loved this.
Until recently, he bloody did. As you zoom up into the air, and as you as you do, you can see that you're racing up this giant copper tube, and it feels like flying. It feels fantastic. And Val looks out, and she says, "Of course, this must all seem very primitive to you, but we do make do. Great things will come because you are here today. Welcome back, brave explorers from time's far shore, to the golden age of Netheril." And as she does that, she taps the side of the room that you lift up into, and the copper floats and translates itself into beautiful shimmering glass, and you can see that you are high above a brilliant blue coast dotted with small woods. Soaring miles above it, clouds are your equals in the sky, because you are standing in a giant floating city high above it on a tower and a spire that she's just brought you to.
Whoa. We're so high up.
So we are in heaven.
I wonder if I can see my house from here.
She takes a couple of steps forward, and she beckons you to the only annex coming off this spire. Jutting off at an improbable architectural angle, it looks like a kind of aviary or a dock, high up on this highest spire of the castle.
Wait, sorry, it's like an aviary or a dock.
A sky dock, a dock for a zoo.
A dog?
Dock.
Dock.
Or a place where you keep budgerigars?
Yeah, those are the... I mean,
One of the two.
Okay, it's an aviary. It's a fucking aviary. Oh.
Well, we can't park there. That's for birds.
You can see now that it is clearly an aviary, that there seem to be small sconces filled with birds. The sound, beautiful sound of songbird music is in the air.
Oh. And can we have a listen?
What the fuck is that bird?
Oh.
That's amazing!
Can I hear that? Can I hear that fucked bird that was next to it?
Do you mean the bird?
Oh, that's real good.
Who wants some chips?
I've got
on your tall bird.
And about 30 paces ahead of you, with his back to you, you can see a figure that seems to be walking away from you down the aviary, feeding and studying the birds. And Val, looking slightly overcome, her eyes already magnified in her giant glasses, wide with pride, she steps to the side and indicates that you should walk forward.
All right, we walk into the place.
And filled whispers, let's all pose in a cool way.
Sure.
As we walk?
Let's pose and wait for him to turn around and then he'll see us.
Could we do a walking Charlie's Angels? Is that
doable? Yeah. But you've got a real gun. And we'll all just have handguns. But you'll have an actual gun.
What a psycho. What a psycho. Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay, I want to be sideways, Angel, so I'm posing sideways.
Yeah. I want to be Cameron Diaz.
But not from that movie?
No.
But from The Mask.
No. No, from There's Something About Mary with the hair. Yeah. With the cum hair.
And I guess that just leaves you, Bobby.
There's only three angels. I guess I'll be Bosley.
And Val's like,
your mission, should you choose to accept it,
okay,
is to turn around and look at us.
As you say that, the figure does hear you and stops just as he was leaning in to look at a beautiful bird. And as you've walked down, you can see that these beautiful songbirds are in fact each of them masterwork clockwork birds, each more beautiful than the last, shimmering with jewels.
I mean, that really depends on the order that you pick the birds up.
Like, yeah, in many ways, each could be ugly.
No. I think they have like
sorting it by Dave.
Yeah. It goes from the fucked birds to the nice birds.
Yeah, okay. But even the fuck birds, why were we one?
So when I say each more beautiful than the last, that's because the first bird is a paper plane.
Okay.
What's the last bird, Dave? What's the sexiest bird?
What is the sexiest?
No, it's not about beauty. It's about the intricacy of the clockwork.
Eden had an answer immediately.
I was going to say the superb bird of paradise, but then I thought about the blue-footed booby.
Oh. I was going to say ostrich. It's so phallic.
What?
All right, anyway, the figure fucking turns around. You can see everything that Val has said has suggested that you are meeting someone called the Archmage, but which might have suggested like an old, wizened figure. But the figure that turns around is surprisingly young and handsome. A man with a goatee, a shock of black...
You said handsome.
He makes it work. He makes it work. A shock of...
So handsome is he.
of black tousled hair. He's wearing a simple linen shirt with wide sleeves, open a little unnecessarily deep on the chest.
All right.
Any jewelry, Dave?
He's wearing a number of rings, one earring, all of them just plain metals. There's no gold or silvers.
How stacked is he?
He's got a surprisingly well-defined musculature, and... Around his neck, you can see in his scoop-necked linen shirt, there is a plain iron chain with a starburst sitting...
Yeah, like the guy from Normal People. Yeah.
Sitting on his chest. He does not look like a wizard.
Yeah.
As he turns around to you, he's holding on his hand as well a small mechanical lyre bird, and he turns and looks at you as it sings... And he cocks one eyebrow, curious.
I immediately drop the pose and shove Friezo. I'm not doing that stuff. I don't do that stuff. I do cool stuff. I do poses. Hi. Me, Filch. I don't know this. These guys wanted to do some daggy pose, and I said, don't do it, guys. And they said, nah. And I said, nah, come on, just be chill, because I'm chill.
Can you make for me a charisma check, Filch?
Chill
I
check.
Made him way too handsome in my mind, Dave. And now I'm blushing from my imagination.
It's always so good to see Filch try to flirt, because Filch's flirting is limited by your own ability to flirt.
Oh, that's an 8. You're in terrible danger of being friend-zoned, but let's...
Already.
Val, who are these people?
Oh, none. Not the accent. Not for me.
Yeah, give come us on. A listen again. How's that
yeah,
sound?
Ben, come on. Don't sell the character short.
He says, how's it?
No, he doesn't, does
no,
he?
No, come on, Ben.
He says, hello, welcome to my aviary. It's where I keep my little...
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
No. Next one, please.
Now, this is a bit of a surprise. I don't...
Bit of shush over there, yeah?
Yeah.
Val, who are these people you've brought me? He says.
And what does Val say?
He says, do I need to call my guards?
Are we all doing what I'm doing, which is trying to work out if Ben is trying to do a voice of someone he thinks is a very sexy person?
Yeah.
I'm doing my best with the constraints of the accent I've chosen.
Do we have any listeners in South Africa? I hope not.
My lord, Archmage Supreme Karsus. My accent has changed because hooly dooly, and then it was like South African, but it sort of switched and I wasn't sure.
No, listen, I can do both, I promise.
Okay.
Famous last words. But look, I know you're very busy, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I first of all want to really, really thank you so much for the grant that you gave me to do the lodestones. And I know a lot of people said that was crazy, so much time and aether goes into these things, but something came out! These four and two of their companions came out of the lodestones. They're from 1,000 years in the future in the glorious Netherese Empire, and I present them to you, Archmage. And she kind of bows and then gestures you guys forward.
Hello. What you got there? A terrible accent? That's cool, isn't it? Friezo, Bobby, Baston, Filch, who you already met. We're just here to help you do whatever you need. Earlier today, we killed one of your perverts.
The sewer perverts?
His name was Trevor, do you know him?
Wait, I have an uncle. I have an uncle called Trevor, he's not very well.
You don't have an uncle called Trevor! You don't fucking have an uncle called Trevor.
And if we flash back to the pipe, you hear, do you guys want some of my chips? I like them tall, yeah. I'm South African.
Honestly, it makes the character less sympathetic. If anyway,
Friezo, enchanté, you know. Enchanté.
Filch. Me, Filch.
It's nice to meet you, Filch. Yeah. And
I'm Baston, and I'd like to go back to the future.
Yes, please. We would like to go back. We were kind of in the middle of something.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, just pop another lodestone on and send us back.
I haven't heard from this one here.
I want to stay here. This is great.
Why? What
now
do you
I like you. This one I like.
This is flipping awesome. It's a new start. Nobody knows. Sorry, Dragon Huddle.
Okay.
Excuse us, Archmage.
Did you even bring a sporting almanac?
Okay, so what do we?
You know what I do have? I have a history of the Strahd family.
Oh yes, the terrible.
So if it has any sporting matches.
You're referring to the terrible and lamentable history of the ancient House of Strahd.
How far does it go back to this age?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can like bet on wars?
Strahd's, just so you know, the Strahd family sort of made their fortune about 1,000 years ago.
Wait, we are still...
Here's the plan. Tell people we're our dipshit selves. We can be whoever we want to be. It's a fresh start.
You already say me name Filch.
Fuck. No, I take it back. I'm not Friezo. My name is Michael. No. Couldn't think of a name.
Hey, I couldn't help but overhear your huddle, guys.
Rude.
Yeah, people normally, you know, they just kind of turn around and they don't.
Yeah, but most people, I imagine, Filch, aren't the Archmage, you know? By the way, I'm Carsus. People call me Carsus the Kind, but, you can call me that. Or just, you know.
That's the most psycho introduction that I have ever heard.
You know, you can call me Carsus the Kind, or, I don't think you guys really need to worry about this kind of thing. Whatever you want to do in Netheril, you're from the future, guys. You are my guests of honor. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my third prettiest bird, and he takes 1, 2, 3, takes out the third prettiest bird, and he goes, there's four of you. I'm going to make you estates right next to each other, set up for tonight where you can live. How does a modest couple of... manor houses with some ground sound. Just to begin with.
Will they be in the sky?
Yeah, of course they'll be in the fucking sky.
They would be...
Unless you want
connected,
to...
Connected, Carsus says, to my personal quarters.
Yeah.
Will there be a slidey pole down?
I'm writing a slidey pole down, and tell you, when I write things down, they tend to happen, best
of. Are we to share this bird, or one bird? Between three, like four of
us? No, sweet gentle Filch. I'm going to send this to my chief architect, and he works fast. Unless, by the way...
And he gets the bird?
Oh, my God. Unless you want to live below with the free folk...
I'll take the beak.
wings. Okay, unless...
Legs? I guess legs?
All right.
Eyeballs.
I feel like there's like a bit of a... And he just tears up the bird. Hands it out.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
I'll get a new bird. Gets a new bird. He's like, unless, of course, you want to live below with the free folk, in which case I can arrange that.
Sky Palace.
Okay, Sky Palace.
Sky Palace.
Yeah,
I'll have Sky Palace.
I'll take Sky Palace.
Ooh, should we do?
You're not really loved down below with the killing of the perverts.
But think of all the perverts I could kill.
Think of the advantage you can have on
you
the perverts.
You do your own journey,
above.
My
Why
friend.
Don't I just put Sky Palace as 1, 2, 3, 4?
Okay.
And then if you change your mind...
We have Towers of the Arcane amongst the free folk all across the Sword Coast. If you want to visit with them, you can.
And I'd encourage you to. It's a wonderful cultural experience. Anyway, my point is, let's just take this offline, you know?
You do know... And I will actually add that you do know about this. When I talk about High Netheril a lot, High Netheril is the culture
of... You do talk about High Netheril a lot.
I know. some would say too much. So High Netheril is the megocracy, that the sort of megacratic empire that lives in floating cities above the Sword Coast. Mm-hmm. There is also... And they speak Lorosian, and they're all of the expert mages. There is also Low Netheril, or what Karsus calls the free folk.
Do we understand Lorosian?
No, none of you, no.
So he's not speaking Lorosian?
Oh, there's a fucking whatever machine that does it.
Yeah.
Babelfish.
No, that's true. The entire... Because this is a diplomatic... You are currently in a floating city called Ilinar, and because Ilinar is the diplomatic hub of the Netheris Empire, there is a permanent comprehend languages aura that is cast over the entire city.
The whatever
convenient.
Machine. Yeah.
Does one of those birds have Duolingo?
One of the birds is Duolingo, and you can crush it. Hey, look, I've loved talking, and this has been so nice to meet you, Bobby Baston, Field Friezo. So good to meet you. I've got some things to do. I'm somewhat busy. But tell you what, we're having a dinner tonight. I'd love you to be there. In fact, you know what? I insist you be there. I honestly and quite seriously insist that you be there. So why don't you go to some quarters that I've arranged? They're not your proper
palace. As he says this, he's quickly scribbling a message and putting it into, like, I think a bird's mouth opens and there's a little chute and he sticks the message in.
Why don't you go freshen up, not to comment on anything, but like, some of you are covered in blood.
It's not my blood.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying it's there. So why don't you freshen up, have a look around, you know, Val, you've done a great job. Take a load off, whatever it is you do. Solve a Rubik's Cube. Have fun. I don't know. This is crazy. I've got things to do. There's something, that I want to talk to you guys about tonight. But honestly, I can't wait to pick your brains about where Netheril's at.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'd love to come.
Thanks again, for the palaces.
We'll be there.
Okay.
And if you need any chores done, just let me know. Happy to help.
Oh my gosh, we got the major for that, but thank you so much.
And speaking of which, he rings a bell and two more of these silver-skinned figures in blue robes appear. And he looks and he snaps his fingers and he says, take them to my personal guest quarters.
Bing, bang, bong.
Bing, bang, bong.
And also, I know it sounds like you're going to see a lot of things in these quarters and you're going to go, do I have to pay for that, you know? Do I have to pay for that? You know, it's a little bottles of wine. Little bottles of wine.
Do I have to pay?
No, you don't. I'm telling you, you don't.
Oh.
There's no everything.
What about the pipes?
What, the pipes?
Yeah, the pipes.
These copper pipes.
Yeah. What about these nuts?
Were they free?
Can we take a couple home?
You want to take...
Are these free?
Just some copper?
You say this free?
Did you just punch a bird to death?
Was a wall, but if the bird was in the way, then that's not up to me.
I can see that we have some cultural bridges to bridge, but look, until that time, sure, take all the pipes you need, I guess.
You've made a fucking mistake, my idiot friend.
Assuming that you follow the Megan down, there is another one of those floating elevators, takes you down the spire into a compound of immaculately presented guest quarters, and if you thought that you were all having to share, you were fucking wrong. Let me tell you, you have each of you has your own guest compound of about 4 to 5 rooms. In each one of those rooms, again, a silver skinned figure is standing upright, motionless, at attention in the corner of the room in blue robes, ready to attend to any needs. And Val points out in the first room a bell in each of your rooms and says, if you ring that, they will awake and do anything that your heart desires.
Robot butler.
Yeah, well, are they like the birds?
Oh, they are beings of pure magic. They are the same very power that powers this city, that makes this city fly, creates these servants for us.
I'm imagining like Terminator 2, like liquid metal guys. Is that kind of what we're thinking?
They kind of look like humans with silver skin.
Like they're silver surface.
Like the people who pretend to be statues on the street.
Maybe a bit.
I mean, that upsets me, but it's not unlike that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Majin, was it Majin?
The Majin. One of them immediately snaps to attention.
Hello?
They won't speak. Just tell them what you want and they will do it for you.
Oh. What if I want them to speak?
She indicates
they can mimic in the way of certain birds, but they can't speak.
So they can't, or they're not allowed.
They can't.
Why? What did you want to?
So if you want to like record a memo, and she turns to one of the Majins and says, "Majin, remind me that I owe 900 ether to the."
How many quarks do you owe?
900 ethers to the biomagic department, and then the Majin parrots that back.
Okay.
Okay, so they can speak.
They can mimic.
They can mimic.
Huh.
Can you do a flip?
It does a perfect backflip.
Perfectly
and
executed.
And Val is like, okay, well, I see you're having fun.
If you need anything, I'm going to take the spare room near you.
Can you... How flexible are you?
Can I do a backflip?
No, sorry, I'm still talking to the Majin, sorry.
Oh, well, I'm going to go.
And we just, like, wave
and she backs out. As I guess the four of you just
Majin,
all...
play Sports by Huey Lewis.
They just stay... Because that is not a command they understand.
Everybody make me quickly a constitution check.
Oh. Do I
natural
get...
20.
Not good for me.
Not good for
21.
Me.
21. Not good.
7.
5.
5. All right. Suddenly, as the doors close and you're all exploring the Majin, sort of, the visuals of it are not great because you're all kind of like just all standing around it while it's standing in the corner looking at you impassively. Waves of nausea suddenly hit all of you. The two of you, Baston and Bobby, you managed to hold yourselves together. How much did you roll each?
7.
5.
7 and a 5. Filge, you suddenly are thrown to your feet. To your knees, in fact. You are thrown to your...
Balance your rules, Dave. We take your first answers.
The same nausea throws you to your knees, and you suddenly realize that you're about to vomit, but with a 7, you manage to sort of push yourself towards what you realize is a bathroom, and you destroy it.
a lot of that is just fosking for pipes, but some of it is being unwell.
As you start to vomit. Unfortunately, with 5, you are not quite so lucky, Friezo. As you vomit where you stand in front of the Majin.
Majin! Ugh, clean it up! Please! Ugh.
And the Majin is looking at you, and even though they seem to be emotionless, you think for a second that you catch a look of, you cannot tell if it is terror or pity as it looks at you, and you touch your chin and turn and look down at the ground and then turn and look at the rest of your dragon friends as they realize two things immediately. One is that your entire chin is drenched in blood and black bile as you look down at the vomit in front of you, and before anyone can stop you, you take your fingers, Friezo, and you start looking around in it, and you pull something out, and you hold it up in front of your friends, and they can see that there are 3 teeth.
You eat some teeth?
I guess I do a dental check, Dave, to see if I have all my teeth.
You have travelled far, Friezo, farther than any have ever travelled before, in a manner that bodies are not meant to survive. You have beaten that law that is first and ascendant amongst all laws that say that that which comes will follow that which was, and there is a cost for such travel, and it seems that your body is going to take more than a small amount of acclimatizing into the journey that it has come. You have traveled back in time, and still it seems that time may catch up with you if you can survive long enough for a dinner with perhaps the most famous mage that ever lived or will live, which is going to be in just an hour's time and is going to be in the next episode of Dragon Friends. Thank you!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Greiner, and Michael Hing. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments, and sometimes perverts, by Tom Cardy. Shakira Khan designs our website. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and episodes are recorded live every month at the Comedy Store in Sydney. Until next time.
Friendship is forever. Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in, you're still a dragon friend.
On immediately from the last episode that we did in November, Tom Walker was here, so I thought it would be really fun to bring tonight special guest Tom Walker, and I invited him and he forgot to come.
So if anyone would like to tweet at him or send him a DM on Instagram, Tom Walker is good is his handle, and you can just tell him he's a, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, if you could, if you'd be like, hey man, we're starting.
Yeah.
You know those like terrifying messages you get where it's just like, ding, ding, ding. Just like, hey, on your way, question mark?
What was the message you sent Tom? My
9 minutes ago, I sent him a message, a screenshot from last year's message, because he's done this before.
You just screenshotted it?
And it just said, are you coming, my dude? And then I saw sent. And then I saw dot, 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 and then it disappeared, and then it came back, and it just said, oh, no.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.